If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 15 in just a moment. We're beginning a new series this morning titled Promotion. Our God is a God of promotion, amen? Today's message is titled From Servant to Successor, From Servant to Successor. You know, while I was out for treatment for cancer, I watched quite a lot of Christian preachers on TV because that, since I couldn't get out due to my immunity, that was one of the only ways that I could feed my soul and remain encouraged in the Lord, apart from praying and reading the word on my own. And one of the prominent themes of their messages that I heard over and over again is promotion. The idea that God is going to promote you to the next level, which was often defined as getting the job that you want, or finally getting the mate that you've prayed for, or a fulfillment of a dream to start a business or buy a house, and on all of these tangible benefits were described. And the messages were preached with great passion, stirring the crowds often to rise to their feet with acclamations of praise. What concerned me was that these messages of promotion were proclaimed in generalized blanket declarations as a promise applying to everyone without any responsibility on the part of the individual believer. And that is a concern, because when a person hears a message like that, clings on to it, and then believes for it, and it doesn't happen, then they become disappointed and disheartened with the Lord, and some may even turn away from God. So it's very crucial that when we talk about these types of subjects, that we see them in a biblical light. So while it is true that God is a God of promotion, as the psalmist said in Psalm 75, says promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west. It doesn't come from earthly means, but God. It comes from God. God is the God of promotion. But what we need to understand is that God's promises are always conditional, which means that there is something the believer must do in order to receive the fulfillment of the promise. And this is definitely true of promotion as well. And I think it's important that we stop to define biblical promotion, because biblical promotion is not necessarily getting the house that you want, or the job that you want, or the mate that you've been praying for. Biblical promotion means that God is promoting you spiritually. He's bringing increased blessing and favor upon your life, increased spiritual anointing and authority, and an advancement of His purpose and His destiny in your life. That is biblical promotion. Now, it may manifest in His blessing and His favor may manifest in tangible ways. It may come in financial blessing. It may come in God granting that mate. These things may be included in that, but we cannot simply define it as such in these tangible terms. It is a spiritual increase, a spiritual advancement in our life. And the story of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 2 is a story of promotion, and it reveals several conditions of promotion. Read with me, if you will, 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elisha said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elisha said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the people where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied, or a double portion of your anointing. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting upon Elisha. They went to meet him, and they bowed to the ground before him. Elisha has long been regarded by Bible scholars as the mightiest and most eminent of the prophets in the Old Testament. He is most remembered for what we often call the showdown at Mount Carmel, where he called down fire out of heaven and 850 false prophets were killed. In the New Testament, he is heralded as the example of effectual fervent prayer because his prayers resulted in there being no rain for 3.5 years, and when he prayed again, God sent the rain. He's also noted for leading the school or company of the prophets, in which he taught and mentored young people with a call of God in their life in the prophetic ministry of the Word of God. At the time of his departure, there were various schools of the prophets, and we see that at the moment of his departure, 50 of those men that he had mentored were standing on the banks of Jericho. So it was quite a sizable school of the prophets. And of those 50 plus men, Elisha is the one chosen to be promoted by God, to succeed Elijah, and to receive the prophetic mantle and a double portion of Elijah's anointing. And we see one way in which that double portion was manifested is that Elisha performed twice as many miracles as Elijah. And so we see one such manifestation of the double anointing. But what was it that distinguished Elisha from the other 50 plus, and we don't know how many more there were, but it was quite a sizable group because at each town they went, there was a group of the school of the prophets. And so what was it that distinguished Elisha from this 50 plus men that God chose Elisha for promotion? What qualities set him apart in God's eyes and qualified him for such a promotion? Well, this passage provides several distinguishing characteristics in Elisha that reveal the conditions to receiving promotion from God. The first thing we see is that God promotes those who have a servant's heart.
Come on, Pastor.
There's an interesting description of Elisha found in 2 Kings 3:11. 2 Kings 3:11, it says this, but Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we can inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. Now, I want you to see that Elisha is not nearly as well known as Elijah, even though God performed twice as many miracles through him, even raising the dead. But despite such a powerful and miraculous ministry, the chief characteristic by which Elisha became known is that he was the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. He was not known as the prophet that raised the dead. He was not known as the prophet who performed twice as many miracles as Elijah. He was known, this was his reputation, as the one, not even the prophet, but the one who poured water on Elijah's hands. What is that? That is the job of a servant. The job of a servant. What we need to see from Elisha's example is that God promotes those who willingly serve however needed. God promotes those who willingly serve however needed. Pouring water on Elijah's hands is not all that Elisha did, but it symbolized that he served in whatever capacity that Elijah needed. And he did it from the time that he was a young man, from when he first met Elijah. One scholar estimated that he served Elijah for more than 20 years until Elijah was taken up. Now, pouring water on someone's hands is not a glamorous task. It's what many would consider a menial duty, a servant's job. Many, especially if they're called and gifted for ministry, would consider it beneath them. Often when someone is gifted or talented, they want to serve where they can shine.
Well,
where they can be seen.
Say it again, Pastor.
If they can sing, they want to sing a solo. They don't want to sing in a choir.
Well, hold on.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nobody here.
No,
I'm just saying, that's the church down the street.
Right.
When someone senses a call from God, if they're not fully submitted to the Spirit, they immediately want pulpit ministry. Move over, Pastor. God called me yesterday, and I'm ready to preach today. Believe you me, that's not much of an exaggeration, the experiences I've had. You see, that person is not ready for promotion in God's eyes. We've worked with the pastoral internship program from Southeastern University of the Assemblies of God. We've had several pastoral interns in time past. And they give you a manual of what you need to do in mentoring these interns while they work at your church. And there's seven areas of ministry that they're required to be involved in while they're at church. They need to have a preaching opportunity. They need to have teaching opportunity. They need to be able to organize and execute some kind of ministry event or occasion at the church. And on it goes. So the seventh aspect of ministry that they need to be involved in is called service. And the description in the manual says that you need to give them some kind of menial task to do. Because a candidate for ministry needs to have a servant's heart. So with one of our candidates that we had here, he later came on staff as a youth pastor, but when he was here as an intern, we had just had new carpeting installed throughout the educational area of the church. And the carpet installer said, if you don't want on that type of carpet, if you don't want the seams to fray, you need to get someone down on their knees with a Bic lighter, and they need to singe the seams. There were a lot of seams. So we had an intern.
All right, okay.
And this was the seventh requirement for them to pass their internship. So I said, brother, I said, we have a job for you so that you can serve the Lord. What is it? You know, because they're real eager. What is it? Well, we just had carpeting installed, and you need to singe the seams. And to his credit, he humbly took that Bic lighter, got down on his knees, and spent hours singeing seams with not a complaint. That's one reason he ended up on staff here later on as a youth pastor, because he had a servant's heart, a qualification for promotion, qualification for promotion. You know, through almost 26 years as a senior pastor, because we will celebrate our 26th anniversary in February, but through almost 26 years as a senior pastor, I cannot tell you how many times people have started visiting the church, and one of the first things out of their mouth is often, you know, Pastor, I'm called to preach, and I feel that God is going to one day have me pastor. And I've done so and so, and I've done so. Sometimes they even bring me tapes of their preaching. And they really, they sell themselves. Then they say something like, I really want to get involved in ministry. I want to serve. I want to help you in whatever way I can. And I say with a big smile, that's great.
Got a perfect spot.
And my little test.
Amen.
Don't don't tell anybody, is that I ask them to do something menial. Could you pick up the papers that the wind has blown in the grassy area out here?
Come on, Pastor.
Or could you take out the trash for me? And if they put up their feathers like a
peacock,
and they act as though that is beneath them because I'm called to preach. Well, that is a sure sign. They are not ready for promotion. Amen. God promotes those who are willing to serve however needed. Another intern, we were just installing our playgrounds for the kids at Promise Preschool, and they were on their hands and their knees out there digging weeds and for hours in the hot summer sun, because they were a summer intern. They were out there for hours. But they didn't balk and they didn't complain. You see, God promotes those who are willing to serve however needed for however long.
Oh, come on, Pastor.
Elisha, see, it's easy to serve for an hour or a few hours without complaining. But Elisha poured water on Elijah's hands for over 20 years. That was faithfulness. That was dedication. And that was a heart submitted to God. A servant's heart. And God was watching. And that's what distinguished Elisha from those other 50 plus prophets and qualified him for promotion. God promotes those who are willing to serve in whatever way needed for however long it's needed. God also promotes those who are willing to serve behind the scenes. It's not easy to play second fiddle.
Well,
it's not. But Elisha willingly served in Elijah's shadow from the time that he was a young man. But he did it so well that he gained the reputation not of being a great preacher, not of being an anointed prophet, not of being a miracle worker, but the reputation that he gained was of being the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. The reputation of being behind the scenes to serve the prophet and the purpose of God. And Elijah's faithful service to Elijah, the prophet that God had appointed at that time, was actually serving God's purpose on earth at that time. That was Elisha's ministry for that time. To do anything else, even if it was involved in ministry, to do anything else would have been disobedience to God.
Come on, Pastor. Show me how to live.
You see, pouring water on Elisha's hand was his God-given ministry for that time. And it was preparing him for his promotion when he would do even greater works than Elijah. Because if you learn to serve behind the scenes and get no credit, when God promotes you, God will get all the credit. Because you have learned the valuable lesson of humility. Elisha served so long behind the scenes that when God catapulted him into the forefront, he continued with the humility of a servant's heart, so that he never got the reputation of, what a great preacher! Oh, he has so many words from God. He's an anointed prophet. That was never his reputation. His reputation that followed him throughout his life was that he was the one who poured water on Elijah's hand.
Wow.
Have you ever heard some of these preachers announced?
Yeah.
It's almost like you're announcing the President of the United States. And a lot of times it grieves my heart because I say, where is the humility of Christ? Where is the humility of Christ? But Elisha learned humility by pouring water on Elijah's hands for more than 20 years. And as a result, God promoted him to a prophetic ministry that resulted in double the miracles that Elijah performed. And you know, this Elisha's life illustrates the truth of what Jesus said. If you are faithful over little things, God will make you ruler over much. That's another way of saying, if you're faithful in the little things, God will promote you. Hallelujah. And I want you to understand that this goes far beyond promotion in ministry. It's promotion in your life. It's promotion in the favor and blessings of God. It's promotion in the anointing and authority of God in your life. It's promotion in the advancement of God's will, God's purpose, God's destiny for your life. It just so happens that we're looking at the life of a prophet to find the lessons for our own lives. If you're faithful in the little things, in the behind the scene things, in the things that no one else sees, God will make you ruler over much. He will promote you. God promotes those who are willing to serve however they are needed, for however long they are needed, and they are willing to serve behind the scenes with no acclamation and with no recognition.
Right.
Secondly, God promotes those who have a loyal spirit. A loyal spirit. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." When they got to Bethel, he said, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." Right. When they got to Jericho, he said, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan."
Right.
And each time, Elisha responded, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." When they got to Bethel, the school of the prophets at Bethel came out and said, "Don't you know the Lord's taking your master away today?" In essence, they were saying, "What are you doing keeping following him? It's a dead end. Step out and start your own ministry." That's what they were saying. And each time he said, "Be quiet." And he pledged his loyalty to Elijah. God promotes those who are loyal to the place of service, and that's not just in church, but even at your job, anywhere you serve. God promotes those who are loyal to the place of service or ministry where he has placed you, where he has appointed you. Elijah's previous servant had seen Elijah call down fire from heaven and witnessed God send a mighty deluge of rain in response to Elijah's word. Yet when Elijah had to run for his life from Jezebel, his assistant, his mentee, abandoned him at Beersheba. "I was fine serving you as long as you're calling down fire from heaven and you're praying and rain is flowing. But a death threat from Jezebel and the way has gotten tough. See you later. Wouldn't want to be you." He deserted him at the first sign of trouble. He was not loyal, and he remains unnamed, and we never hear about him again. He did not receive promotion. Have you seen there's a realty app that is out that has a series of promotions with the tagline, "Not you." And they're showing people trying to buy a house, and somebody else comes that wants the same house, and that's the "not yous." They wanted the house, but they didn't get it because you used our app and you found this house before them. Let me tell you something. This unnamed prophet is the "not you." He probably wanted the promotion, but he didn't get to it because he didn't have a loyal spirit. God promoted Elisha. God promoted Elisha. See, shortly after this mentee abandoned Elijah, God sent Elijah to Elisha. while he was plowing in his father's field, and he threw his mantle on his shoulders. I like something. There's a pattern in scripture. God generally calls people who are busy working where they have been placed. You never find him calling somebody who's a lazy bum. Hallelujah. Well, that's another sermon for another time. But he sent him to Elisha, who is plowing his father's field, and he threw his mantle on Elisha's shoulders. And Elisha knew exactly what that meant. The mantle was a sign of prophetic calling and prophetic anointing. Elisha understood that it was a prophetic call and appointment by God to succeed Elijah. He immediately burnt his farming equipment and forsook his former life and career to follow Elijah and to follow the will of God for his life. But even though he was called and anointed to succeed Elijah, he did not grow impatient with pouring water on Elijah's hands for more than 20 years. I want you to see that. The same is true of David. David was called from keeping his father's sheep. There he was. He was busy doing what he had been called to do. And he was anointed by Samuel to succeed Saul. And it would be many years before he succeeded Saul. And David had opportunity on several occasions to kill Saul and take the throne. But he did not become impatient with the process. He did not become impatient with the process. Though Elisha was called and anointed to succeed Elijah, he did not grow impatient with pouring water on Elijah's hands for more than 20 years. He didn't become lifted up in pride with the passing of time and think that pouring water on Elijah's hands is too insignificant of a job. After all, I am destined for greater things. God said it. God demonstrated it, telling him to put his mantle on my shoulders. I'm destined for greater things. He didn't try to speed up his promotion and move Elijah out of the way. He didn't try to start his own school of the prophets somewhere. He didn't try to launch out his own prophetic ministry. He didn't politic for position with the company of the prophets, saying, you know what? Elijah's getting old.
Right.
He doesn't have the strength and fortitude he once had. He can't prophesy like he used to prophesy.
Come on, man.
And I am the next in line. I am the designated one. And I am just as anointed as he is. I hear from God. I have messages, thus saith the Lord. And I've got new and fresh ideas for ministry. It's time for the old man to retire. And y'all should follow me. No, he didn't do any of that. He remained loyal to the ministry to which God had appointed him, a ministry of pouring water on Elijah's hands. And he remained loyal to Elijah, serving by pouring water on his hands for over 20 years. And for that reason, God promoted him. If he had not remained loyal to Elijah, he would have forfeited his promotion. He would have forfeited his promotion. God promotes those who are loyal to the place of service or ministry where he has appointed you. Where he has appointed you. For 6.5 years, I served at a church in Miami. For over 4 of those years, I was part-time, getting $50 a week, even though I was doing full-time ministry. I was the youth pastor, I was the children's pastor, I was the young adults pastor, I was the outreach evangelism coordinator, and I taught the adult Sunday school class. And I directed the musical dramas for $50 a week. But I did it because I know God had placed me there.
Hallelujah. Amen. My God.
After 6 years, the pastor retired. And they brought in another pastor. And when that other pastor came in, he was looking to hire a full-time associate. And there was another young man who had graduated Bible college. I hold nothing against him. He is a missionary today, and we support him in missionary, in his missionary endeavors. But he had a lot to learn. When it was noised abroad that they were looking to hire a full-time pastor, he came to me in my office, this young man. He was doing a Spanish ministry in the church. They had 6 Spanish people. That's all he was doing in the church. I was youth pastor, children's pastor, young adults pastor, evangelism director, drama director, adult Sunday school teacher. And he was leading 6 people in the Spanish ministry. He came and sat down in my office, and he said, "Pastor so-and-so is going to hire an associate pastor." And he said, "I want you to know, I full well expect to get that position.
Well, wow.
But if I can put a word in for you,
well,
I will." And I said to him, "Brother, I love you and I appreciate that. But if that's God's will for me, I don't need your word or anyone else's. God will open the door."
That's right. That's right.
Well, in the next several weeks, he was taken, I was going to say wine and dine, but we don't drink wine, amen. But he was, you know what I mean, he was schmoozing. He was taking the pastor and his wife out to eat. He was dropping by the office and bringing donuts for the pastor and sitting in his office and drinking coffee. I wasn't doing any of that. When it came time for a decision to be made, the pastor went to the board and he said, "You know, we've been talking about hiring an associate." And he'd mentioned the name of this young man, and he said, "I think that we should hire him." To a person, all 6 members of that board stood up to that pastor and said, "He does not have the spiritual maturity to be an associate pastor. If anyone is going to get the job of associate pastor, it should be Maria Khalil." I want you to see something. God promotes those who are loyal to serve where they have been planted and are loyal to the leader God has placed them under. Not those who politic. Not those who try to manipulate and move themselves into position. Amen? God promotes those who are loyal to the place where he has placed them to serve. And God promotes those who are loyal to the leaders that he has appointed over you. Absolutely nothing could separate Elisha from Elijah. He was faithful, he was committed, he was devoted, he loved Elijah. Elijah was his leader, his friend, his mentor. Even when he knew Elijah was about to be taken up to heaven, he faithfully stuck by him. Even when Elijah himself encouraged Elisha to leave, giving him 3 opportunities, he remained steadfast and he said, "I will not leave." He was saying, "I'm with you to the end." Even when the other prophets, the company of the prophets, encouraged him, "This is Elijah's last day. You're wasting your time following him. It's your time. Step up and step out. Start your ministry." Yet he silenced them and he faithfully followed. He faithfully followed to the end. Even though it might have seemed as though it was a dead end and a waste of time. But God honored his loyalty to his leader. I want you to notice something. That after they found out that Elijah was being taken up, the other 50 plus prophets in training stopped following. They stopped following. And they were encouraging Elisha to do the same. But when it came time for Elijah to be taken up to heaven and the prophetic mantle to be transferred, all of a sudden they show up. They're at the Jordan. Isn't that amazing? They stop following, but when they know it's the time for the passing on of the mantle, they're there. "It's me. It's my turn." Why didn't God choose one of them instead of Elisha? Because they were not loyal. They stopped following when they found that Elijah was nearing his end. God promotes those who are loyal to the leader that he has appointed over them. Whether that leader is a pastor or that leader is a boss or whomever it may be, God promotes those who are loyal to the leader he has appointed over them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know this is not a glory hallelujah message. But if we want the blessing of God, if we want the anointing of God, if we want the advancement of God's purpose in our life, we need to understand this. Thirdly, God promotes those who have a fixed focus. Verse 9, the second part of the verse. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elijah saw him no more. Elijah then picked up his mantle.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
How was Elijah taken up into the heavens?
A
whirlwind. But Elisha was the only one who saw Elijah taken up in the whirlwind. The other 50 plus prophets in training were distracted by the chariot of fire. A lot of people are distracted by the spectacular, by the flashy. But they really don't see what God is doing. They really don't see what God is doing. We had some years ago a young preacher that came in, and the Spirit of God moves in powerful ways in our midst, and sometimes other ministers are not accustomed to that because there is a drought for the moving of the Spirit of God in many churches today.
Yeah.
And so when he came to minister, the Spirit of God was moving, and he got a little carried away. And he must have thought that he was Jesus Jr. or something. Because as the Spirit of God was moving and he was supposed to be ministering, all of a sudden, you know, he starts suggesting to people that they should fall down. He starts telling stories about, you know, people who wipe, you know, sway their hand like this, and, you know, a whole section of the sanctuary falls down and what have you. And then all of a sudden, you know, he takes his jacket off and he's waving his jacket like this. And you can see the spectacle of what he's doing. If you're sensitive to the Spirit, you would realize that that was not the anointing of God.
No.
Which a lot of the people in our congregation realized that. But some did not. And some got caught up in the spectacular. You see, we have to be careful not to be distracted by the spectacular, by the flashy. We need to keep our eyes on what God is really doing. God promotes those who are not distracted by the spectacular. Not distracted. And then God promotes those who have directed their focus to the activity of God. Elisha was the only one who had the depth of spiritual sensitivity to have his eye focused on the activity of God as the worship team makes its way back. He was the only one that saw that Elijah was taken up, not in the chariot of fire, but in the whirlwind. It takes keen spiritual discernment to recognize the true vehicle of God's activity. It was not the flashy, attention-calling chariot of fire, but the less obvious whirlwind. A whirlwind, if you don't look closely, you can't see it because wind is invisible. But God was moving in the whirlwind. God promotes those who have a fixed focus. See, anybody can see when God is moving in a flashy way. But can you see when God is moving in a simple, nondescript way?
Come on, Pastor.
Or do you think nothing is happening? Do you think nothing is happening because you can't see the flashbang? God promotes those who have that spiritual sensitivity to have a fixed focus on the activity of God. Folks, God is a God of promotion. And he does want to take you to the next level of his plan, of his destiny, of his favor, of his blessing on your life. But God only promotes those who have a servant's heart, a loyal spirit, and a fixed focus. Do you have a servant's heart? Would you be willing to do a menial task like pouring water on someone's hand for over 20 years with no recognition, with no acknowledgement? Would you be willing to serve behind the scenes where no one sees? Do you have a loyal spirit? Are you willing to serve, even when it might seem as though it's a dead end, a waste of time, but you remain loyal to the ministry or place where God has put you and to the leader under which God has placed you? And do you have a fixed focus? Are you looking for the flashbang? Or are you sensitive to see the activity of God, even when it is not obvious, even when it may be in a nondescript form? Are your eyes fixed upon the activity of God? Would you bow your heads with me?